From the KUNV studios in Las Vegas, you're listening to Our Metropolis, a weekly interview program with people who are changing the face of Las Vegas. And now, here is your host.
I am your host, John Katzlamitas. I write the Katz Report for the Las Vegas Sun and LasVegasWeekly.com, and I'm in the print edition of the Sun on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Our guests this week are the artistic director of one of the city's most enduring arts companies, Nevada Ballet Theater, and the principal of its academy. The theater is gearing up for its annual holiday classic, The Nutcracker, which is set for December 17th through December 26th at Paris, Las Vegas. Welcome back to the show, James Canfield, and welcome to the show for the first time, Anna Lance.
Thank you.
How's everything going at the school? Let me ask you that first.
It's going very well. We are in the midst of Nutcracker rehearsals.
Right.
We have over 100 roles for children, so we have about 90 children in the Nutcracker, so it's very, very exciting.
Well.
And, we're in full swing, and things are going well. But
how do you keep all that organized? Or do you?
I do. Definitely. It just takes a lot of planning ahead, scheduling, notifying parents, and we have very strict guidelines because we have to follow the policies and the guidelines of the company. It's a company mm-hmm. production. So, things are well. Things are going good.
Have you had any kids just pitch it, say they don't want to do it? too stringent for them?
No. We have auditions in mm-hmm. September, and we have a great turnout every year. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be in the Nutcracker because we're the only one that where the kids can be affiliated with the company.
Yeah.
So they're on the same stage as with the company. They rehearse with the company. So it's a very big deal to
all of
them.
Must be a great thrill.
It is. It's so thrilling for the kids. They love it. And James here always, encourages the kids to come and watch the company rehearsals anyway. Mm-hmm. But in this case, we are actually rehearsing with them, kids and company, together. So it's great.
What age range are we talking about for the kids coming in?
7 years old. They're young, all the way up through, 16.
Wow.
We have a great range and lots of roles, and it's mm-hmm. a very interesting and wonderful production for children.
Right. James, can you tell? I know in athletics, coaches often say that they can tell a talent right away when a kid, either handles a basketball or throws a football. Can you tell in dance when a young person is gifted enough to be a talent in his or her adulthood?
Yeah, you can see – first off, their love or lack thereof for the stage. And, mm-hmm. Physically, everybody is going to grow and, into something different, based on male, female, mm-hmm. what kind of exercise they do, how much dancing is involved. But the thing you can always tell is, does a child love to be on that stage? And there are kids that I have seen in the classroom, and I don't know who they are on stage. They have just transpired uh-huh. into these bigger-than-life personalities, and that's always fun to see. For example, I'm going to not name names, but there was a little boy last year in the party scene, and I could not believe who he was, and I said, he's got to be one of our leads next year. And he is. And the transformation is unbelievable.
Huh. Yeah. That's not something you can necessarily – or can you? Can you instill that in someone who might have talent but is shy of the stage? Can you coach a young person through that process?
To a degree, but the ones that really love it and are at home on the stage, and I don't mean in a sense of being a ham on the stage where they need to be center of attention, but they have somehow taken all the information that has been given to them during the rehearsal period or in the process, and they've somehow put it into their mind very differently than a lot of the other kids who have just heard it. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they really just – there's this transition that – it's really unbelievable. Like, I don't know who he was. Like, where has that been in rehearsal? Mm-hmm. Where has that been in class? And then all of a sudden, wow, he blossomed on stage. So you're realizing right. he is listening, where there are other kids who get afraid of the stage. And so you have to, take that into account as well as the super talented ones. And you try to teach them, but you're going to always get butterflies, like Anna said, you know, before the show. But at the same time, there has to be allowing that butterfly and that adrenaline to kind of work for you as mm-hmm. opposed to against you.
Butterflies in and of themselves aren't bad. You want to have a little bit of buoyancy, yeah. don't you?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. I always say little nerves are good because I think it keeps the kids poised and ready and that adrenaline going. So absolutely, little butterflies are great and it makes them perform better. But I agree with James here. I think it's something we can encourage, you know, this feeling of wanting to be on stage, but it's also innate, I think.
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
There are some things you just can't teach kids right. that they have, and you go, wow, what a natural right there,
absolutely.
And you're just really impressed by
it
that.
It must be a great thrill for you, James, to see that happen, like you described the young man last year, because it sounds pretty rare for somebody to have that instinctively.
Yeah, it is. And every once in a while, beyond the kids that are just at home on stage and they love that, then there's kind of if you remember the movie Shine,
mm-hmm.
there's
mm-hmm.
always that,
right.
you know, that one that really has things that are so far ahead of anyone of their age group and a lot of times of people and dancers that I work with. You're just mm-hmm. like, wow, they've really got the shine.
Right.
You know?
Right, right. The Academy was founded more than 30 years ago, right? 79, I think?
1979.
Yeah, that's right. Do you find, and how long have you been principal, Anna?
Just a little over a year. I came in August last year.
Okay. Have you found that there's a commonality among those enrolled? Do they all want to be performers in some way? What kind of a makeup does somebody who's enrolled in the Academy have?
Yeah, we have great students. They're very, very committed. They are... you know, they come straight from school, some of them. We have a pre-professional program, and they are required to come 5 days a week. Now they come 6 days a week with the Nutcracker mm-hmm. rehearsals on Saturdays. And they all show up way ahead of time, and they are wonderful. It takes a lot of dedication. So in general, we have wonderful, dedicated students.
Mm-hmm.
And I try and instill that as we try and mirror the company and the artistic vision, because that is really what it takes. You mm-hmm. know, it would be a fallacy to say it's okay and you can come late and all this. So we have very strict guidelines to funnel and keep a thread to go through on into the company.
Is it hard to get into? Hard for a kid to get into the Academy?
No,
a student?
No, we do not audition, but we have guidelines, you know, and certain mm-hmm. levels come certain times a week, and there's no give or take on that. But we have something for everybody, absolutely. We have classes for once a week, if you want to come once a
mm-hmm.
week.
You have adult classes, right?
We do, mm-hmm. and we have a great adult program. We have started some new classes. We have an absolute beginning class on Saturday. That's going very well. And
is it?
Also workout class, and then we have our other ballet classes for serious students. That's a great program.
Yeah, I'm not sure people realize that there are adult courses offered. This has come up in recent conversations with me and my significant other, because I've been threatening to go into dance class.
Well, please come.
That's
the first classes are free. So
really?
The first class is free.
The
yeah,
first class
come. And you
is
don't
free?
Have to wear tights.
Okay. All right. Two good things. James, what's your formal role with the Academy, by the way? How do you, other than in this particular relationship, is there any overarching position that the director holds as it pertains to the Academy?
It varies with every organization, but I think with me is I try to look at the Academy sort of as the bloodline to the future mm-hmm. and any future company. Mr. Balanchine, George Balanchine, the great George Balanchine, once said, a school first and then a company. And when you really dissect what that means, and what he said was that if you had to let one or the other go, which would it be? And you can always build a company if you've got a very well-established school mm-hmm. that can filter and remake. Because
right.
when he first came to this country, the first piece he ever did was Serenade for Strings in 1934, and that was made for his students of his school, and that ultimately turned and became New York City Ballet many years thereafter. And I think that what we do in what I feel my goal is to set a standard so that everything that falls into place under that or beside it or above it has a certain level of expectation, because ultimately we are a performing art. And the thing mm-hmm. that is unique about our academy is it is an academy that has an association with a professional ballet company, right. which no other organization in town has that as far as ballet academy and company go. So there's standard that is required. And I know that that's – even though we are something for everyone, there is a specific group of kids that have to follow a more strict series of guidelines in order to gain that experience and opportunity to work with the company, because it isn't like going to horseback riding and playing soccer and being in the glee club. You have to focus your attention on right. the primary goal.
Right. Not to put horseback riders down.
No. I love it all, but it's just – it's not no, one other thing you do. Mm-hmm.
It's a calling. It's not a recreational
right.
diversion.
But yeah. we also mm-hmm. offer that recreational diversion as well if you want to come and just have it as something that is – well-rounding you for poise or for conditioning or stretching or strength mm-hmm. or just coordination. We offer that as well, but yeah. we also offer that more strict course.
Right. I'll ask both of you this, Anna, first. You're born in Sweden?
I was.
And the name of the town is Storan?
Göteborg. Great.
Göteborg.
So,
hey, I'm onto something here. So tell me, what was it like growing up in Göteborg?
Well, I love Sweden. it was great. I loved it. We're nature lovers in Sweden uh-huh. and harsh winters, but, you know, my summers were running around in the strawberry fields, basically barefoot. But during the year, you know, I was in serious ballet training really early. Mm-hmm. And so they have, of course, these beautiful opera houses. And I was part of an opera house there, an academy and a school. And so a lot of my memories go back to that early training. I was in early ballet training 5 days a week, and that's all I did. And at that time, they didn't have any, you know, sports or anything after mm-hmm. school, very serious education. And then you could choose maybe one thing. And of course, my thing was ballet. So
do you remember the moment in time when it clicked to you that this was going to be, as we sort of indicated, your calling? Do you remember when that was and what the catalyst was for that?
Well, yes. I guess there were a couple of things. One time my parents took me to Swan Lake at that opera
uh-huh.
and the ballet, and I sat right, you know, maybe in the fifth row or something like that. And it was that connection to the live theater, to this beautiful art form mm-hmm. and the music. I could not stay away. I had to be part of it. And, you know, and I was part of it, not on stage at that time, but mm-hmm. it was that connection between me as a student and that connection with what went on with the company on stage. It was just,
Your family came to the United States and moved to somewhere in California, right? When you
right.
were younger, like 12 or so, is that right?
Yep.
Why did they do that?
My father was professor at University of California at Davis. He got a two-year
oh, yeah.
contract there. Yeah.
I know Davis, yeah. Uh-huh. That's a beautiful place also. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's beautiful. But I remember coming there, you know, I just felt like there's a lot of cattle around and no opera houses, and where's my ballet lesson? So I struggled a little bit there, and
it's a bovine ballet.
It's
there
a bovine, absolutely.
Davis.
Well choreographed. But yeah, I remember really missing you know, the cities and the cobblestones and the opera house and the ballet lessons. Mm-hmm. And I also spoke no English, not one word.
Well, a lot of people who've grown up in Davis don't speak English. They're struggling with it. No, my father, I know this because my father got his PhD from UC Davis. He's in endocrinology. So he worked with some of those cows you're talking about uh-huh. there. Yeah, so I know that area. And you're close to San Francisco, so that was probably some sort of at least cultural outlet. Growing up there.
It was. And I ended up actually coming back to San Francisco and that area. I just loved it. But mm-hmm. Not Davis, but, mm-hmm. yeah, but California's a great place. So.
Right. I don't think I've ever asked you this, James. What was your turning point, literally, when you were growing up? Do you remember that moment where the flash, where you thought this was going to be it for me, and this is going to be how I'm going to spend my life in this form of entertainment?
Sort of age 13, mm-hmm. I left home and went to a professional ballet academy mm-hmm. in Washington, D.C. And it was prior to that, though. It was actually – I wanted something in theater. I did not know exactly that it was going to be ballet. the very first time I ever went backstage, you talk about the way your senses can play into something that can have an effect on you. It was the smell of backstage. I don't know what it was, the costume, the dressing room, just it was at an American, it was a Shakespeare theater in Stratford, Connecticut, uh-huh. where my grandmother worked. And I remember, you know, the anticipation of sitting in my chair in the theater and just the loud noise of everyone talking and then the hush that came over the audience when the lights went out and then it was pitch black and the curtain went up and there were lights on the stage and I saw Julius Caesar and I was like seven, so I didn't know what they were saying. But then I got to go backstage and it just – there was a smell that made me feel at home. And,
really?
And it was the costumes, the sets, the dust, the – I don't know what it was. And I said – somehow I've got to be involved in theater in my life.
Uh-huh.
And
any theater at that point would have been.
It was a theater. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And then
the atmosphere
dancing. Mm-hmm. It was the introduction, being a little boy in Nutcracker. I mean, here we mm-hmm. go, full circle.
Yeah.
That was it. And I was at a dance academy, dance school in Richmond, Virginia, taking tap dancing, and they were recruiting boys for their local production in Richmond, Virginia for Nutcracker.
Uh-huh.
So that was my first introduction to ballet, and I saw the guest artists were Violette Verdi and Edward Villella from New York City Ballet were dancing with the Richmond Ballet, and end of story, I was
wow.
in love.
Right. You're listening to Our Metropolis. This is John Katzlamitis with James Canfield, the Artistic Director of Nevada Ballet Theater and the Academy's principal, Anna Lutz. Let's talk a little bit about the why of the Nutcracker. Why is it the holiday classic that it is? I think in every – if you see one ballet, this is the one you usually see, unless it's Swan Lake. Right? I mean, if you see one annually, if you see one ever, it usually – or the entry point a lot of people have in ballet
yeah.
is the Nutcracker. How do you explain that? Is it the seasonal quality to it? Is it the score? Is it – how do you put that into a perspective?
For me, I think it's a lot of factors. One, the music is so recognizable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Secondly, it's around holiday.
Mm-hmm.
It's around family. And it involves a lot of children. And so I think putting those elements together and you're there and there's a nutcracker and there's kids being kids and there's gifts being given because it is around the Christmas holiday. And then just sort of the magic that takes place into something that's very familiar. And that's that score that they've used,
uh-huh.
you know, early as Fantasia. In, you know, Disney uh-huh, and every uh-huh. commercial and every store you go in at the holiday time and you hear it. So I think it's the familiarity coupled with kids, coupled with holiday and family that just works.
Right. Mm. And when you were growing up in Sweden, same thing? Internationally?
No.
Really?
Actually not. I think it might be an American phenomenon. It's more now in Europe, nutcrackers are. But they used to do nutcrackers any time of the year. It wasn't just during the season, right.
How adventurous.
But now I think they do, and it makes a lot of sense, I think, the way we do it here, because it is about Christmas and, mm-hmm. and around the holidays. And I just want to add, I think that the kids on stage inspire kids to watch. So I think mm-hmm. kids really like watching
kids watch
dance.
Other kids. Rather
kids
than
dance, exactly.
Really, as opposed to a child watching an adult, it seems very unreachable. A kid
right.
watching another kid dances.
Yeah, especially uh-huh. if they're young. I think it's a great inspiration. And also it's a story ballet. It's easy to understand what the story is about. And so that helps kids. So it's very kid-friendly, I think.
Right, right. James, in the development of Nevada Ballet Theater, this is your coming on – this is you're in the middle of your second – season, is that right for you?
Full second
season.
Full,
right.
Yes, but about three on and off. Yeah.
Right. And you're still enacting your vision for the ballet and going through that process. A traditional ballet like the Nutcracker, is this time for you to sort of table your own adventurous way of choreographing performances and just doing the classical number just, you know, to fill that need? Or do you try and make it different in some way and maybe make it edgier? Or do you put your own imprint on the Nutcracker?
Well, the version that we're doing currently is choreographed by Peter Anastas, and he is the artistic director up in Ballet Idaho in Boise.
Yes.
And we will be doing I've actually choreographed three Nutcrackers to date,
mm-hmm.
My last being my most epic, the one I did in Oregon. And to me, it's – when something works, you just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've not done sort of the Mark Morris attempt and the Hard Nut, and those are great works that work for that specific type of company. Meaning he did it, and he's a modern dance company, and he did a modern production, and so it works well there. But I think that you want to leave tradition alone. And if I've done anything to sort of tweak mine, it's how do I make the entire ballet interesting and keep kids focused? Because a lot of times in act two, they start faltering.
Yeah.
Because it's one scene and they sit there and it's divertissement after divertissement, whereas in act one, you get the party scene, mm-hmm. you get the growing of the Christmas tree, you get the battle scene,
yeah.
and then you're in the snow
right.
scene. And it's, you know, kids are like, just like
it's
crazy.
It's visually
yeah,
very well paced.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, and then in act two, it's like curtain goes up and you're in the palace and there's where you are for 45 minutes and kids are there. So I try to bring and breathe new life into that. In the parameters of the tradition of the work,
mm-hmm.
and so I mean, I wouldn't mess personally with this ballet other than to incorporate more interest for kids. That's it. But as far
right.
as getting edgy with it, it's not mm-hmm. worth it. There's mm-hmm. some good ones out there if you know they want to produce it here.
Right. Do you see that, Anna, in kids getting a little lost in space? In the latter part of the performance?
They can, but yeah. I think it's you know, the direction you set and the parameters you set. I think this one is great because we have a lot of children. Some Nutcrackers are not so kid-friendly. They're kid-friendly, but they don't have as many roles, for
yeah,
example.
That's a huge cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. And so this is great. But that in, you know, other production, I think that could be a fear.
Well, now that it's on since it's been on the strip, you could do it like what they did with Phantom of the Opera and just do, you know, Nutcracker Las Vegas Spectacular and shrink it in time. Just
well, there's only
one act.
There's only one problem with that. And that is somehow cleaning up that snow before Act Two begins, because you've got that on stage. But
hey,
no,
Andrew Lloyd Webber figured out a way to do it.
Well, that's true. This production, though, what Peter did do is he incorporated a lot of kids in Act Two.
Mm-hmm.
So it does keep the audience interest of kids interested as well, because they see, again, to Anna's point, kids seeing kids is a lot easier and more interesting, because they're like thinking, wow, that's somebody my age up there.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're younger than me. Mm-hmm. You know, wow, I could maybe –
right.
You know.
Yeah, that's – well, yeah, well said. We were talking before the show a little bit really informally about dance and entertainment media. I do want to ask you guys this on the air. Maybe Anna first, now that that James has pushed himself away from the microphone. But we have Dancing with the Stars. Dancing – a show that is, of course, as the title indicates, centered on dancing, some form of dancing, some of it not very good. But it is dancing. It's a hugely popular, 40 million viewers a week. Entertainment vehicle where people are dancing.
Absolutely.
Is this good? Is this a good thing for? I mean, first for kids. I mean, is it going to inspire some of your students to want to go and become dancers professionally? Do you think, or outside the academy?
It could, absolutely. I mean, I'm all for all sorts of dancing, whatever,
mm-hmm.
all forms, all sorts of dancing. I think, you know, in the world we live today, I think we need more dancing, and it's. I think it's great. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. Any form, any way. Is good.
Right. As someone who's a high-caliber artistic director, Mr. Canfield, what do you think of Bristol Palin as the biggest dancing star in the United States right
well,
now?
Well, I'm going to tell you, anybody that's out there that's, you know, trying to promote dance, I think that's fantastic. You know, criticism is criticism, and you're going to always get it, you know, when you put yourself out there. And regardless if it's her or if it's me or if it's you or if it's Anna, you know, there's going to be people that like you and people that have an opposite opinion about you. And so, you know, I'm not here to say what I think of Bristol Bristol, mm-hmm. Palin.
Bristol Palin.
But you know, if it is what it is, it is what it is. I don't watch shows like that just because mm-hmm. I don't want to get upset. So I just don't turn it on and let the rest of the country worry about that.
Is it hard for you to watch Mediocre Dance?
No, there's some really good the part that's not the stars. Those dancers are excellent.
The actual partners, dancers
mm-hmm. that are teaching mm-hmm. and some of the choreography is fantastic on those mm-hmm. shows. But you know, it again. Michael Bolton, he's a star, you know, and he's putting himself out there to try something different. You know, they're all getting criticized. So when you hear, you know, they're just trying something new, you know, and to me, it's what it is.
Would you ever entertain, this just came to me, would you ever entertain the concept here in Las Vegas, lots of celebrities, many of them have been on Dancing with the Stars, Holly Madison, Wayne Newton, mm-hmm. you know, among them. Would you ever entertain the idea of including someone who wasn't in the company in a performance in some way, even if it wasn't necessarily a highly demanding dancing role, to draw an audience? Like bring in somebody, like they call it stunt casting, but that kind of a lure just to maybe put your tongue in your cheek a little bit?
Sure. You know, anything's possible. You know, I, again, it's everything is about marketing, yet genius marketing is how you do it and still not jeopardize the quality or standard of performance that you're trying to put on.
Mm-hmm. And what's it mean to be at the Paris with the Nutcracker? I mean, how's that different from being at Hamlet?
Well, it's an entirely different theater in the sense that, it was our decision to put our performances as we're growing toward the Smith Center into the bigger hall at UNLV out here.
Right.
So mm-hmm. we're limited as far as stage craft goes because the Ham Hall is dead hung.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that means we can't fly sets in and out
right.
of there.
Uh-huh.
But we need to grow our audience. And Judy Bailey didn't really allow us that. So we made mm-hmm. a decision to move. And with Paris, it parallels the ability to do both, grow our audience as well as have the theatrical ability to fly sets. And we've had a great response. We've added two performances this year.
Right.
And that's the demand of the audience. And Paris, Harrah's Corporation, they have just been a tremendous sponsor and partner in helping see our success in this endeavor. So we're really thankful to them and the response that the community and the community outside this community has embraced as well.
All right. Well, we're out of time, folks. Thanks for both of you for coming down here to our metropolis again, James once more and Anna for the first time. The Nutcracker is set for December 17th through December 26th at Paris, Las Vegas. Tickets start at $30. You can get more information at www.nevadaballet.com. Check it out there. And until we meet again, I thank you both for stopping by.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
For all of us at our metropolis, this is John Katzlamitas reminding you to stay tuned for Observations.
Thank you for joining us for our metropolis. Join us again next Tuesday at 6 p.m. for our metropolis.